Saudi Arabia's crown prince warns of an oil price surge if the world doesn't act to counter Iranian aggression. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Mohammed bin Salman said Iran acted, quote, stupidly by attacking the world's biggest petroleum processing facility earlier this month. Iran has denied any responsibility for the attack, but in an interview with CBS, Mohammed bin Salman said a war between the two countries could ruin the global economy. So far this morning, oil prices are down about 0.5%. So is the crown prince right about a looming price spike? Stephen Innes, market analyst at Axie Trader, says probably not.
It's a little bit of warmongering on that side. And here's the issue. The U.S. is providing defensive military hardware for Saudi Arabia to defend against any type of terrorist attack in the future. However, if we look at the way that the market's leaning right now, they don't think this is an offensive move. They think this is just strictly defense.
So will the crown prince's call for more political action on Iran actually push other countries to put more pressure on the country, do you think?
This is a dilemma that President Trump has been running into. His European counterparts still want to do business. They still want to provide some technology, but not enough technology that's going to advance their nuclear program. Look, France has got a lot of vested interest in Iran, and they want to keep that interest alive. So they're trying to find some middling ground here. Over in Asia, there's concerns too, because a lot of Asian countries are big buyers of Iranian oil. So there is significant pressure to seek a compromise here. But whether it's enough to create some sort of international alliance to go against the U.S. and try to ease that tension, that's yet to be seen. This is something that's not going to break down anytime soon, regardless of what political pressures are exerted externally.
Stephen Innes from Axie Trader, thank you.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, Saudi Arabia is the world's largest exporter of crude oil, but it's looking to cut its dependence on the commodity and focus on opening up its economy. Last week, it began offering tourist visas, and it's put into motion plans for its Al Ula project, the first tourist resort open to non-Muslims. The BBC's Sylvia Smith explains how it's already benefited the local economy.
I'm flying over spectacular sandstone rock formations. The helicopter's just about to land on a windy mountaintop where Amr al-Madani, the CEO of the Royal Commission for Al-Ula, or RCU for short, is waiting. He's confident about the future of tourism.
Al-Ula could easily pass through annually anywhere between 1.5 to 2 million visitors.
But how will local people benefit from the RCU's plans? Raed Hamid was born and brought up in Al-Ula and recently trained as a guide.
Before the RCU come, the people in Al-Ula used to go outside Al-Ula to Tabuk or Medina to get a job. But when the RCU came to be in Al-Ula, established a lot of jobs to people in Al-Ula, to young people also. A tour guide like me and also the ushers.
The ushers Raed is referring to are working at a series of musical concerts held in the Al Maraya Concert Hall. The 2019 winter season includes the likes of Italian opera singer Andrea Bocelli. All performances were sold out, which comes as little surprise to Cameron Manwaring, an American futurologist.
One thing about Ula, in terms of its monetary value, is the value that it will bring in terms of the marketing and the perception. One of the reasons some of the sites that you've seen are so beautiful and so pristine is because visitors have not been here for decades.
But all that natural beauty, such as the monumental sandstone rocks, could be swept away by uncontrolled development. Amr al-Madani says a written commitment puts the natural world first.
If we all remain sympathetic and respectful of what we call Al-Ula's charter, is to be able to respect nature and heritage and make sure that the footprint is minimum.
As part of the 2030 vision of Saudi Arabia's crown prince, Al-Ula will be the flagship and to some extent the measure of his success in transporting the kingdom into the 21st century.
Sylvia Smith reporting there. Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mixed on speculation the U.S. could stop Chinese companies from listing their shares on Wall Street. Chinese stocks slipped after data showed manufacturing declined for a fifth month in September. In Hong Kong, shares of AB InBev's Asia division rose by more than 3% in their trading debut. And VW shares are steady as Germany's first class action lawsuit is underway. More than 400,000 owners of the carmaker's diesel vehicles say they're owed compensation for falsified emissions tests. To India, where the government has banned onion exports after domestic domestic prices hit a record high of 50 cents a pound. For most of the country's workforce, which earns just $3 to $4 a day, that's a significant price rise, as the BBC's Kinjal Pradya Wang explains from New Delhi.
So this year, India has seen floods across the country, especially in states where onions are produced in large numbers, that is in the western Indian states of Maharashtra, Gujarat and Karnataka. Floods have really caused a lot of damage. You know, hundreds of people have died in these three states. And that has obviously had, the floods have obviously had an impact on agriculture.
Now, banning exports is seen as a way to keep prices low for domestic consumers, but there are other motivating factors behind this too.
So this is not the first time that India has banned the exports of onions. Indian government had to do this in 2010 as well, when onion prices had skyrocketed. But this year, obviously, India is also going to have state elections in three big states, which are very crucial for the ruling BJP party of Narendra Modi. So they don't want onion prices to become a big issue. Obviously, rising onion prices will increase inflation, which is bad for the elections and for the political parties. And onion, remember, it's very, very important in Indian dishes as well. Onion is a very key ingredient in almost all Indian dishes. So we use onions literally every day. So we cannot afford to pay such a high price for onions.
The BBC's Kinjal Pandya Wag from New Delhi. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, speaking of vegetables, with Christmas less than 100 days away, yep, that's right, a Scottish company has made what it calls the world's first Brussels sprout gin. They say it's pleasantly sweet, slightly nutty, and perfect for mixing. I'll give it a try at least once. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.